Oh, Eddie, what are you smiling about today? Well, thank you for joining me today for today's, thank you for joining me for today's COVID-19 daily update. I'm pleased to be joined by Secretary Nate Smith, of the Department of Health, and also General Kendall Penn, our Adjutant General, is here as well in case there's some questions comes up about an announcement. I know that you're wondering why I brought a football in. I'm getting a lot of questions about are we going to have sports this year in high school and beyond. Of course, I like to think about basketball as well. And the simple answer is that there is a connection between this mask and this football. If we want football, high school sports this year, and beyond that in college, we need to concentrate on this mask now. There's a connection between the two. We wear our mask, we reduce the cases, we reduce the growth, we stop the spread of the virus, and that puts us in a better position to have some type of team sports this fall, and that is some of our objective. It is important in my life and the life of my family, so I hope that we can achieve that goal. And Dr. Smith, do you agree with that? All right. I want to make sure he'd catch that. Thank you, Dr. Smith. With that, let me go to the case report today, which is good. Yesterday, we had 20,777 cases. We have an additional 420 cases today, which is down, and that brings us to 21,197 cases in total. In terms of hospitalizations, we had yesterday 290 hospitalizations. We have a reduction of 15 in terms of our hospitalization. That brings us down to 275. In terms of our deaths, we've had an additional 7 deaths. 277 is what that brings us to. In terms of counties, there's a little bit of change there. The top county in terms of new cases is Lee County, and of course that is where one of our correctional institutes is located, has 69 cases. Pulaski County has 49. Washington County has 48, which is a significant decline from yesterday. Yell County has 28, and Benton County has 20. And the rest are less than 20 in terms of the new cases in that area. We also have good news that for the first time in a long time, we've actually decreased the number of active cases. Those that are still pending that have not recovered, that's 5,757. And our testing numbers continue to go up with over almost 8,000 tests in the last 24 hours. That is an impressive number. Of course, those came in from yesterday, the last day of June. So that was 7,993 cases, and our overall positive rate is 6.7%. Let me go through the slides, and I go through these quickly because we have a lot today, because what I asked them to do is, after we go through our usual ones, to break down the two most populous counties in each of the five public health districts to see what the trend line is in each of those most populous counties. And there'll be some counties say, well, I wish you'd included that one, but this gives us a good sampling of 10 counties just in the trend line in each of those individual counties. So there'll be a number of slides toward the end. This is the new case, and of course you can see this is one of the lowest we've had in some time with 420 cases. They go to the rolling average, and you see the downward trend line. That's what we want. We want that downward trend to continue. Yesterday, I asked the question, which direction we're going to go, and it's good to see that downward number. Next, you'll see the number of active cases, and I said, as I indicated, this is the first time in a long time we've had a reduction in active cases, and then you'll see on the next one, the hospitalization, key metric, and that decline there is good news for our hospitals, our healthcare workers, Obviously, we want it to go down more, but that's a start in the right direction. And then the seven-day rolling average of percent positive cases, again, we want that to go down a little bit more to get closer to the 5% level, but that is at least going in the right direction. And then this is percent positive cases by date of result, which I just went through, but our most recent positivity rate is lower than what we've been seeing, so that's great news. And then this is just, we ended the month. We set a goal, 120,000 cases, tests for the month. And as you can see, yesterday at the end of the month, we went to 180,000 tests that were done, which is 6% of our population in Arkansas. And then this goes through the counties. And so Benton County, you can see the deep decline in cases in Benton County. And you got to keep this in perspective. This is 58 cases here. So you'll see that chart on some of the counties that it might be two or three cases. But this is still a deep decline in where it was. Next, in Washington County, we see the trend line going down. And that was at even a higher level, but the last one is less than 100. So that's good news there. And then Pulaski County, this is 60, so you know about 58 cases. That you can see the trend line, every area is a little bit different. They peaked in April, they went down, and then they started going back up again and way up, and then we've had this decline, so that's good. Next, we see Faulkner County. We don't talk about Faulkner County very much, but it's one of the most populous counties in the central region. And you see, you know, this is at 20 new cases per day, and the trend line, well, right now is going down. And then Craighead County going up to the northeast region. Again, you see a downward trend, and this is at, you know, put it in perspective, this is 15 cases. And so you're down here at about five new cases a day in one of our most populous counties in Craighead County. Good work up there. And then we see White County, again in the northeast region. We don't talk about that much. This is just, you know, a little over one case, new case, and it's going the right direction. And then going down to Texarkana in the southwest region, you see this is at between two and three new cases is what they've been averaging. Rolling average is looking good there. And then Union County. And you've got to remember that Texarkana, of course, right next to Texas, has had an explosion of cases. Louisiana's had an uptick lately as well. And yet in Union County, they weren't bad, and they've gone down since then, which is sounds bad. They weren't bad and they went down, but they're doing very well with that low number of new cases. And then in Jefferson County, Pine Bluff, and this is where we started, and they've had such a struggle early on, but congratulations to them on what they've done with their height of, well, in one day they had up to over 120 cases, but then that was the peak on the rolling average. That was about 40, and now it's at a very low level, and it's flat. We got to keep watching that. And then St. Francis County in the southeast region, which is Forest City, you can see that they have a federal correctional facility there. They had some peak numbers, and it's flat now, which really we were concerned about cases in the area. And we went in there. We did some comprehensive testing. Department of Health did a great job. The community did a great job, and it's flat. All right, so we're going to save that for Dr. Smith. I went through a record number of slides today and hopefully a good amount of time, but I thought that was a very important message to see that in our 10 most populous counties, we have either downward trend or a flat, and that's good news for Arkansas. I did want to make an announcement in regard to National Training Exercise at Fort Chaffee. And that National Guard training exercise was set for this weekend, involving almost 4,000 guardsmen, and they were coming from multiple states, and that National Guard training exercise has been canceled. The reason that has been canceled, I've conferred with General Penn, obviously with Secretary Smith as well, but the federal rules did not allow testing for each guardsman. And we believe that that was important for their own protection, but also as they go back to their community, we wanted to have some confidence that they had had the right testing regime while they were there at that exercise. That doesn't mean that we're going to stop training our National Guardsmen, but this exercise has been canceled, and they will set up additional exercises in the future. With that, I know Dr. Smith has got a couple things to cover, so I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. Before I start, I just want to point out, again, face masks. This one is actually donated by the Arkansas Medical, Dental, and Pharmacy Association, and they donated 400 of these to be distributed at testing events. So I want to acknowledge their contribution to that, and it's a very nice and stylish mask, too. I want to give a few more details on the numbers, then go over just two slides to answer some questions that have come up in the past. In terms of our numbers, the governor has mentioned we had 420 new cases. That's a large number, but it's smaller than we've been having, so we're going in the right direction. Of those, at least 33 of them were in correctional facilities. I'll explain the at least because the cases in Yell County, in Lee County, those appear to be at least mostly from the Brickies unit, but they haven't been classified as correctional. So this 33 doesn't represent all of the correctional cases from among the 420. So our total is 21,197. Our active cases are 5,757, which is a decrease from yesterday. And so that's what we want to see. We want to see a decline in the number of active cases. And of those, 153 are in nursing home. At least 525 are in correctional facilities. So 5,079 are active cases in the community. We have had some increases in the number of nursing home residents that have tested positive. We've had 15 new cases since yesterday and 11 nursing home staff that have tested positive. In terms of our hospitalizations, we have currently hospitalized 275. That's a net decrease of 15 from yesterday, so we're definitely going in the right direction. We have 72 that are currently on a ventilator. That's 5 more than yesterday. And we've had 7 deaths since yesterday. So our total is 277 deaths. For recovered, we have 15,163. That's an increase of 632 from yesterday. So we've actually had more recover in the last 24 hours than we have had new cases, which is why our number of active cases have declined. As the governor mentioned, we're doing very well on our testing, and we finished the month out strong. We not only exceeded our goal of 120,000 tests for the month of June, we actually exceeded what was going to be our goal for next month, 180,000. So maybe the governor will have a more aspirational goal tomorrow for us. But we're doing well on testing, but we need to have that testing because we've seen the percent positives creep up on us. So we need to get enough testing out there that we know that we're catching as many positives as possible. We're not missing any populations. We're not turning people away who really do need to be tested. What I wanted to go over on these last two slides, a question has come up, what percentage of hospitalized patients survive? And this is, I know, hard news. It's not a positive slide, but these data are from current from June 25th, but of the 1,300 ever hospitalized that time, you can see 177, 13.6% had died. Now, they were still 20% hospitalized, so we don't know what will happen to those, but almost two-thirds of them were discharged and survived. So that's good news, but this is not a benign condition at all. And the next slide is ventilated. The question has come up, what's the likelihood of surviving if you get on a ventilator? And, again, those who get on a ventilator oftentimes are very sick. They oftentimes have underlying medical conditions. But so far, of those who have been on a ventilator, 46.3% of them have not survived. Now, we still have about a quarter of them on ventilators, and we don't know what's going to happen to them. But this is the sobering reality of what severe COVID-19 can result in. And I wanted to finish off my remarks by just talking about a couple of the non-respiratory complications. This tells probably the biggest story of severe COVID-19 disease. We think of it as a severe pneumonia, ventilators, et cetera, but we also have some severe non-respiratory complications. One is blood clots. That's being recognized as a greater and greater problem, and it can affect people of all ages. We've actually had a case here in Arkansas of a man in his 20s who had some respiratory symptoms, but not enough to go to the hospital, but end up having a fatal blood clot to the lungs and expired because of that. We're seeing more complications from blood clots. Also, neurologic complications, strokes, and other types of neurologic complications. I got an email from a citizen, an older individual who's got some underlying medical problems, and he said, I'm not afraid of dying from COVID-19, but you need to let people know that this can cause permanent neurologic problems like a stroke. And he says, I don't want to live with being paralyzed or having some other neurologic condition that's permanent. So that's another thing that it can cause. And the last thing I wanted to highlight is heart disease. We're starting to see cases where COVID-19 affects the heart. We call it an inflammation of the heart or myocarditis. And this can also be devastating. I received an email from a citizen here in Arkansas, actually a physician, who acquired COVID-19 and recovered from the respiratory component of it, but ended up with heart involvement and now has congestive heart failure that he's dealing with. And it's not clear whether he's going to recover from that or not. And he wanted to make sure that I got that message out, that everyone needs to be wearing masks to prevent this, because this was a otherwise healthy, strong individual who now has an uncertain health future because of COVID-19. And I don't want to be a downer today on a day when we have lots of good news in terms of trends, but I wanted to make that clear that the reason why we're talking about masks and preventing this is because this is a serious condition that can change lives as well as end lives. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. With that, we'll take any questions.
What's the rule that you were talking about that doesn't allow the National Guard troops to be tested?
General Penn, could you come up? The question is what is that federal rule that does not allow testing of every National Guardsman?
So this is a case where policy and in some cases statute have not kept pace with the current environment. And so as we researched the testing for the entire cohort of folks going to Fort Chaffee this upcoming weekend, we bumped up against a instance of physical law that defines training in an annual training status and at drill status as not being of the caliber to require testing for everyone. It only provides testing for folks who are symptomatic. And so that keeps us from being able to mitigate the potential risk of folks who are not symptomatic going home with a disease.
Just training in general?
So my staff is working up guidance to go out to the field that would govern how we go ahead and continue the annual training program. It's just a very broad statement. We currently visualize doing most of our training at the local armories, where the units are much more geographically homogenous, if you will, and everyone is from the local area. And we'll continue all the protocols that we have in place for distancing, mask, disinfectant, et cetera.
How will that affect readiness, or are there things you won't be able to do?
So the this exercise is the Exportable Combat Training Capability Exercise for the 39th Infantry Brigade Combat Team, which is our largest unit in the state. That is the exercise that is a stepping stone for a combat training center rotation, which will occur next summer, which we still in, still expect to occur. Generally, it provides kind of a building block basis for the skill sets that you would need to execute there. What we anticipate will happen next summer is that they will scale down the exercise, the Army will scale down the exercise based on the amount of training that we've actually got accomplished when we show up.
Is there not a way that we could have just tested everybody coming in regardless of that rule, or how does that work?
It's all based on the same federal physical law constraint, which means that in an annual training status, whether it's on the front end or the back end, we can't use federal funds to test everybody.
So I guess what changed from a week ago when this was everything was kind of on the up and up to now?
We gained new knowledge as we were trying to buy the kits. That's where we ran up against the constraint, figured out it was going to be a major problem for us, and began planning the what next.
So I
called the governor, expressed my concerns, told him my recommendations. The governor concurred, and that's where we're at now.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
I guess we narrowed down or gotten a little better handle on where some of the Pulaski County numbers were coming from yesterday. That's probably more for you, Doc.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
We've not identified any distinct clusters. You know, with a large population like we find, you know, yesterday we had a focus in Wrightsville. I haven't identified a focus, you know, from these today. But you know, we'll keep looking for that. We did have a slight decrease from yesterday, though.
Is there a question remotely?
Yes, Governor. This is Josh Briggs, the editor for the Saline Courier here in Benton. And I have two questions. Yesterday it was touted pretty highly that we were down in hospitalizations by 10. However, we had 5 deaths. Are those 5 deaths considered out of the hospital now, and are they included in that stat of hospitalizations being down by 10?
I'm going to let Dr. Smith. Did you hear that question okay?
Yes, if a patient in the hospital dies, then they're reduced from the current hospitalized number and they're added to the death number. Not all of our deaths were in the hospital. We've had over 2/3 of our deaths so far have been amongst nursing home patients, and nursing home patients only make up about 10% of our hospitalized patients. Some of these patients are in hospice. In some cases, the families decide not to admit them or not to readmit them if they've been discharged. So not all of the deaths are coming out of the hospitalized numbers, but certainly some of them are.
Okay, thank you. And my second question was, sticking with nursing homes there, here in Saline County, I called nearly every one of ours yesterday due to July 1st being the reopening for visitation on a strict basis, of course, and nearly every one of them said that they have not received anything from the state or have not been able to turn anything into the state to see if they are eligible to reopen. So what are the stipulations on that going forward as far as reopening visitation?
Well, our guidance is set forth, and of course they can coordinate with the Healthcare Association, and Rachel Bunch, who's been here a couple of times with us. So if there's any questions, they should be calling the Department of Health or the Healthcare Association, again, who's been a good partner. But if they've had a positive test result in the last 28 days, then they're not allowed to reopen. If not, then that's permissible under the guidance that we've provided, which is rather specific and clear. But any questions should be addressed to the Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Dr. Smith added that they also call the Department of Human Services that has guidance and responsibility over our long-term care facilities. Thank you. Yes, Alex.
When you show us the number of recovered people recovered from the hospital, does that include the people who now have long-term health complications from COVID?
Well, go ahead. I'll let you cover the definition of recovered again.
Yes, the majority of people who recover from the infection, you know, do come back to their usual state of health. But there are some people, for example, I mentioned the physician who's he's recovered from the infection, but he's left with damage. So those would still be classified as recovered from an epidemiologic standpoint, and that he's not at risk of transmitting COVID-19 to someone else. But someone who has a neurologic or a cardiac issue or blood clot issue, you know, they will have to live with those sequelae for a long time. Fortunately, those are not super common, but they're common enough with the number of people that we have infected that people need to know about those.
How many walk away with long-term issues?
We don't have good data on that in Arkansas. Because it's not an area that we've been able to assess fully. We'll probably get more information on that as more studies come out, long-term follow-ups from our academic partners, for example. But we are starting to appreciate that more as we're seeing more and more cases, not only in the U.S., but throughout the world.
Is there anything else remotely?
Governor, this
is Kemmer with KNWA News.
We know Arkansans are falling victim to unemployment fraud as people are using their identity to file for unemployment. How big of an issue is this for Arkansas, and what can the state do to investigate these fraudulent claims?
Can somebody help me out? Did you hear the question?
Do you need me to repeat it?
Yeah, just try to repeat the question. I don't know if you need to speak closer to the mic.
Okay, so Arkansans are falling victim to unemployment fraud as people are using their identity to file for unemployment. How big of an issue is this for Arkansas, and what can the state do to investigate these fraudulent claims?
To invest in what?
Investigate.
Oh, thank you. I've got it now, and I appreciate it. I've talked to our Department of Commerce, our Secretary of Commerce, and his team, and they do have a number of cases that either have indications of fraud or question marks that haven't been answered. So they're actively reviewing those, and as they have indications of fraud, obviously the payments will not be made. But if there's a fraud that is prosecutable or can be referred to law enforcement agencies, that will be done. It's a big challenge for many of the states, as you pointed out, because we were trying to obviously meet the need of the citizens that have unemployment claims, pandemic unemployment assistance claims. So we're trying to get the money out the door, but also to do it in a way that minimize the potential for fraud. But that's part of the reason that we have our Inspector General that is involved in our chairman of our Steering Act funding group, and we'll continue to look at that and investigate those very aggressively. Yes.
We're hearing from some people who are filing for unemployment who are having a hard time reaching the search for work requirement with the three contacts because they say not many people are hiring. What would you say to that?
Well, the obligation is not to get hired. The obligation is to seek employment. And so all you have to do is to make inquiry with three employers, and if they say we don't have a place for you to work, then that meets their obligation. And so it's not difficult, and this is one that has been historic ever since that I'm aware of, that we've had unemployment compensation. They've had that requirement to seek employment and to go to three employers. And if they decline, then that's sufficient to continue your unemployment compensation. There was one more question remotely, I think.
Yes, hi, Governor.
Matt Merrill with KNWA News. Governor, until today, testing had been kind of dropping significantly over the last few days. We had a peak of about 8,000 tests, and then yesterday it was down under 5,000. So given that, first of all, is there any specific reason why we saw the slowdown in testing? And then given the lower testing numbers over those days, again, until today, should people be skeptical of that downward trend in new cases that we were seeing?
Well, they shouldn't be skeptical because, I mean, today is a good example. We tested almost 8,000, and yet we had a low positivity. We had 400 in some cases, 420 cases a day. So today's a really encouraging word. Now, it's typical that over the weekend, the number of tests declined some, and I think that's what you saw over the weekend when you had lower numbers. There was one more question remotely, then we'll come back to the table.
Yes, Governor Hutchinson. This is Brad Broders, Local 24 News in Memphis. You may be aware yesterday that Crittenden County NAACP raised some requests to you in hopes of getting a temporary field hospital, some more masks, maybe some community health workers. Obviously, those are smaller counties, but their cases per capita are higher than some other counties. Do you have any response to that request, and is there any potential state assistance you all are considering for that part of Arkansas?
I discussed those requests with Dr. Smith today, and of course, usually whenever we have requests for assistance, that comes through the emergency management channels and through the channels of the mayor or the hospitals or the clinicians that are there, and or through our public health system. And so we really haven't had that request other than this public request from the NAACP. Many of the patients for routine health care have go to Memphis, so they go to Memphis to shop, and obviously Memphis has a great deal of capacity in terms of sophisticated health care and more ICU units. So that's not unusual itself. In terms of the counties, like Lee County is one that was mentioned, and Lee County does have a high per capita in terms of its cases, but Lee County is also where you are in the congregate setting of the prison that is there. That's reason for that increase in cases. So we'll continue to look at that, and we will talk with the officials as to see specifically what needs are there that we can help with. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Governor, as the weekend approaches and 4th of July celebrations are being planned, are you concerned that they might affect the downward trend? And is the state taking any proactive steps just in case if there is a spike?
Well, we are concerned. I mean, what you can see from our communication is that we fight complacency every day. I mean, how do you balance? Well, we had a good day, and so people say, well, cases are going down, so let's go out and everything's fine. That's not the case. And so we try to communicate it in many different ways, but hopefully our Kansans are getting the message that it is consistency is what we need in disciplined behavior, in social distancing, and in wearing masks as a part of that. And so the messaging is a critical part of it. What we're doing is emphasizing the 4th through our social media, through our marketing campaign, through our communications here and our daily briefing. But then also, as I indicated, whenever I've talked to our state park leadership and asked them to have their rangers, their park officers, that as they go out and look at our state parks, that they're mindful of social distancing to remind people of their responsibility. In the same thing with our public health officials, our alcoholic beverage control. You know, I want them to be active and to make sure that the owners of that have those permits are mindful of their responsibility and just don't let the parties and the celebration get out of control, where we forget that we individually make a difference in our future and whether the cases are going to go up or down. So we make our case, and we hope Arkansans respond to that.
So Goldman Sachs yesterday came out with the whole, number, and it's on a national level, mask mandate can save the GDP probably about 5%. Do you kind of have any reaction to that, and maybe inch you a little bit in that direction on a statewide level?
Well, if you ask any public health expert or anything else and said, would sheltering in place help control the spread of the contagion? And the answer is yes. Well, you have to balance what is true with what is achievable and practical and enforceable. And we've adopted an approach of education in Arkansas in terms of wearing masks, educating people, and they're responding to that. I hope to have good information with you on that, but people are responding. All right, with that, thank you for today, and we'll have some important news tomorrow as well. Thank you very much.